Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. Jesus said, "Behold, I am making all things new." We are here to receive and celebrate that newness of life. Good morning again, and welcome to West End United Methodist on this first Sunday of Advent. We're delighted that you're here, and especially if you're here for the very first time, we hope you'll continue to join us during this Advent period of preparation and anticipation. And we would like to extend our hope that you'll make an attempt to be part of our family here, and a part of you, the way you can do that is by taking classes and getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. If you look in your bulletin insert, you will see lots of opportunities for doing this. I'm going to lift up a few right now. Our Advent devotionals and class books can be purchased in Reed Hall after the service. There's a table out there. You can read more about the adult classes in your bulletin insert. Also, another way to begin Advent with a real bang is the annual Advent Wreath Workshop and Dinner this evening, beginning at 5:30, lasting until 7 p.m. in McWhorter Hall. The dinner is a potluck. Meat, drinks, and paper products will be provided, but then you can read in your bulletin insert about what you can bring. This is a time when you can get together with other folks, meet some folks you don't know, perhaps, make an Advent wreath for the coming season, and if you already have one, you can come and decorate it a little more or refresh it. I know you'll love to be here and have a great time if you come. That's this evening at 5:30. Also, we have our festive music coming up in a concert for Christmas on December 4th at 4:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. This includes John Rutter's exciting Gloria and also new choreography performed by New Dialect, Nashville's contemporary dance ensemble. That's next Sunday at 4:30 here in the sanctuary. This Tuesday night, the 29th, Vanderbilt Choirs will perform a program of classic choral music at 7:30 p.m., again here in the sanctuary. And Friday night, December 2nd, the Chancel Choir is singing at the Mayor's Christmas Tree Lighting at 6 p.m. at the Public Square Park. So I know many of you will want to take that in as well. Don't forget also our candle lighting service. This is a long-standing tradition for West End on December 11th at 5:30 p.m. If you've been before, I know you're planning to be back. If you haven't, you may want to give yourself a treat and come. Also, we have an appeal. We have no one to help with room in the inn on December 28th. It's a difficult date to fill, but there are no names out there on the board. And if you feel moved to do so, we would love it if you might be willing to take an evening and provide a meal, spend the night, provide transportation. That's December 28th, room in the inn. You ever get tired of waiting? Like for Thanksgiving dinner to be ready and done? I mean, you've already gone and walked or run or whatever to justify eating more. And now you're ready to eat more and you have to wait. And there's that sense of anticipation. It's not just waiting. It's not just watching. You're leaning in. And you can hardly wait for it to begin. You know what we call that feeling in the church? Advent.
Thank you. Advent is upon us, a season of wondering, watching, and waiting. We look for signs of God's presence around us, waiting for God to come in new ways. Come, let us worship God who is breaking into our world and our lives in new ways.
We light this first candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. And I will save the lame and gather the outcast. And I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord."
Together, let us make our confession to God with one voice. Holy God, we are an impatient people. We want what we want when we want it. Forgive us when we put aside the needs of others and we cause harm to our neighbors due to our desires and wants. We have failed to set before the world an example of your goodness and vision of peaceful existence, which you have called us to do. Take from us our habit of disobedience, so that we may heed your word and do your work in the world as a testimony to your goodness.
God
God loves you, forgives you, and seeks your restoration and wholeness. Know this and live. Amen.
Thank you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Leah and Bennett Atkinson bring their son, Jasper Allen Atkinson, and Gabriel George Galletti and Evelyn Kate Galletti bring their son, Louis Gabriel Galletti, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And now, Leah and Bennett, Evelyn and Gabe, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture these children in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If you do, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care?
God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround them with the community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and Jasper and Louis who receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your holy child, Jesus Christ, who with you and with the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name has been given this child?
Jasper Allen.
Jasper Allen, I baptize you in the name of the Creator, in the name of the Redeemer, in the name of the Sustainer. Amen. Jasper Allen, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through the water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gabriel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born of water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days.
Will the congregation please stand and face Jasper and Lewis? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brothers in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Jasper Allen and Lewis Gabriel to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in our Advent prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament from the prophet Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if anybody would care to come up and join Maggie and me, you would be welcome to do so. If you'd like to bring a parent or grandparent, that's perfectly acceptable, or a friend. Here, we got some more folks coming. Good, good, good. Good morning. Good morning. Come have a seat with us. Good morning. The first thing I want to do is wish you Happy New Year. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the old guy has finally gone over the edge, right? It's just past Thanksgiving. It's not even Christmas yet, and he thinks it's New Year's. Well, you know what? It is. Because this is the first day of the Christian year. The first Sunday of Advent starts our year. That's when we begin to tell our story all over again. And it's not just our story, it's the story of Jesus and the story of God's wonderful works here in the world. So this is a day that begins a new year. Now, for most people, it begins January 1st. For some of you who are in school, it begins at the beginning of school. But for us in the church, it begins today. And so we are going to be celebrating that in several ways. First of all, you may have noticed that the color has changed up here, right? And Pastor Aaron and Pastor Becky have some purple in their stoles. And look at this. I have some purple in mine. But you know what? I'm going to be changing stoles, and it's going to get more and more purple through the season until finally it'll be almost all purple. Because purple is the color of Advent, and purple is the color of royalty. We're waiting a royal visit. This Advent, we are saying that love, the guest, is on the way. That love is Jesus on the way. And we get to host Jesus in our lives and hearts, in this church, in this world. And so what we'll be doing through the colors, through our singing, and through what we say is to get ready for that coming again. Now, a long, 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 long time ago, a man named Augustine said, when you sing, you pray twice. You pray with your words, but you also pray with your music. And so every week we're going to have a special hymn. This one is, O Come, Emmanuel. And when we sing that, we're not just praying for Jesus to come. We're singing in our music for Jesus to come. We're welcoming Jesus with a song. It's like we can't wait. Right? And so, every week we're going to have a different song, and every time we sing, we'll be praying twice, right? With our music and our words. So every week we'll have a chance to pray more than once. And every time we sing, not just when we sing that special song, every hymn that we sing is a time to pray. So, I know you'll help us with that, and we'll be talking about what people are saying about Jesus coming. And those people are called the prophets. We'll be talking about them over the next few weeks as well. So we are just very grateful that we get to start the new year today. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for new beginnings. Thank you for sending your love to us as one of us so that we might know your love in its fullness in Jesus. In his name we give you thanks. Amen. Thanks for coming down. Well, I guess I better wish you Happy New Year too, right? You know, it's interesting. You probably started hearing Christmas music, what, right after Halloween? Yeah. And certainly after Thanksgiving. But we don't do it that way in the church. We like a little delayed gratification. You know, when I was a kid, delayed gratification was a sign of maturity. Not having to have everything you want just right when you want it. And so in the church, we have a time of preparation. We have a time of anticipation. That leaning in, waiting and wanting and anticipating once again to hear the good news that God's love has come to us as one of us. And so throughout Advent, as you heard me tell the children, we'll be celebrating that through music. Every week we'll focus on a different hymn. Through our theme song, which is Love the Guest is on the Way. And we'll be focusing on the prophets almost up until Christmas Eve. Because you see, the prophets are those who tell us about God's dream for the world. Now that seems like that would be a wonderful thing, right? We all want to know what God's dream for the world is. The only problem is these poets, as Walter Brueggemann so aptly calls them, these poets who find images through which to communicate God's yearning and God's dream for us also point out how far we fall short, which means they're usually not the most popular kids on the block. While they describe this great dream God has for the world, it becomes apparent that we have not and do not live up to it very well. Which is why we have to keep telling ourselves the same story over and over and over again, because we tend to be forgetful. And so we begin to tell that story again today. Not the story of the birth, not just yet, but the story of the anticipation of the birth. And today we get to hear about that anticipation from Isaiah. Isaiah describes a time when all nations, not just the descendants of Abraham and Sarah, all nations will come to the mountain of God. You know, I know some people are beach people, ocean people. I'm a mountain person. It is no mystery to me whatsoever that in the ancient world, people thought God lived on tops of mountains. Because you get up there and there is this sense of presence that for me at least is profound. And so Isaiah sees a time when all nations, people from all around the world, are going to be gathering on the mountain of God to stand in God's light, to experience God's love, to learn from God's wisdom. And that dream is something that we can actually realize. Now, ordinarily, when people who have differences, and these people have great differences, they are the various nations of the world. When people come together who have differences, they usually fight, right? Because one has to be right and one has to be wrong. One has to be in, one has to be out, because that's the way we slice and dice our religious traditions. That's the way we cut up our understanding of God. But in Isaiah, all nations come together, and it is only God who judges, not us, only God. And when they come together, they come with their spears and their swords. So, you see, they're thinking, if I'm going to be with all these people who disagree with me, I'm going to have to destroy them. We still think that today, don't we? And then something miraculous happens. In the midst of all of these people coming to stand in God's light, in the midst of all of these people coming to stand in the light of God's love and to learn from God's wisdom, they start doing something very different. They don't destroy each other. They take their swords and they take them to the blacksmith's fire and the anvil, and they start to hammer them into something different. They start to hammer them into plow points. Not a weapon of destruction, but something to break the ground so food can grow. And they bring their spears and they start to hammer them over the end of that anvil, and they crook so that they become pruning hooks, so that you can pull the branches and pick the grapes and make the harvest. The weapons of destruction suddenly are transformed into tools that provide sustenance for all the nations. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to realize? If that is God's dream for the world, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could take even a small portion of what we spend on weapons of war to be sure that everyone is fed? That everyone has enough. That is God's dream. And Isaiah has a vision of that happening. that the nations who would ordinarily come together and fight bring their swords, and instead of using them to destroy each other, they transform them into something that allows for them to feed each other, to feed all the nations that are gathered there. That's what happens when you stand in the presence of Isaiah's God. That's the Emmanuel that we pray for when we sing, O come, Emmanuel. We're praying for that God to come be with us. And we believe that that God has come to be with us in the person of Jesus. That's the only reason we come here. It's the only reason we come on Sunday morning. It's the only reason we come to classes. It's the only reason we show up at all, is that to stand in the light of God's love, to experience God with us, is literally a life-transforming experience. And we come carrying our swords and our spears, and we walk away to break the ground and to pluck the grapes, because they've been transformed into plow points, into pruning hooks. Now, most people dismiss poets. Believe me, I know about this. They think, it's just poetry, just a bunch of imagery. Doesn't mean anything. But let me tell you, God's poetry is not to be dismissed. This is not simply a suggestion about how things might ought to be. It is not some fantasy that Isaiah is spinning out. This is the way God wants it to be. This is God's yearning for the world, and we either choose to be a part of the destruction or we choose to be a part of God's yearning and God's dream. And the choice is up to us. And too often we say, that's too hard. That'll never happen. That's just a fantasy. Well, let me tell you, it can happen because it has happened. I'll tell you a story. In southern France, there's a little town called Le Chambon-sur-Lingon. It's a little mountain town in the hills there in southern France. They were sent a pastor whose name was André Trocmé. It was a kind of punishment for him that he was sent there, because he was a pacifist, and as the Germans began to move into France, he opposed fighting them with the weapons of war. It may have been a punishment for the people, too. I don't know. You know how that works with pastors and congregations. But in any case, he became the pastor in this little town, Le Chambon, and this was during a time when the Nazi forces were moving into France. France was already occupied in the north, but in southern France, where Le Chambon sits, it was called unoccupied France. And yet, in Vichy, there was a puppet government headed by Field Marshal Pétain, who was a World War I hero from France. But he basically did whatever the Germans wanted him to do. Which means that when they started registering Jews just because they were Jews, and when they started finding those they had registered and taking them away to internment camps, we all know where that story went, don't we? André Trocmé got up the next Sunday and said to his congregation, "We, as the church, need to fall on our knees and repent of our cowardice for not standing up and calling this the evil that it is. To register people just because of their religion, to take them to internment camps just because they have a different religion from ours, and ultimately to destroy them. This is evil," he said, "and the church doesn't stand up, and we should repent for our cowardice." Not too long after that, unoccupied France became occupied France. And of course, the Jews in southern France were registered. And it was expected that their neighbors would turn them in. And the Sunday after that order came down, André Trocmé stood before his congregation and said, "We will not do this. We will not turn in our neighbors just because they are of a religious tradition, not our own. But we will fight this not with weapons of war, but with the weapons of the Spirit. You see what he did? He took swords and spears and turned them into something else. While the Germans came with the weapons of war, while the French who collaborated with the Germans came with weapons of war, the Christians, these Reformed French Christians, Huguenots, decided they would reject those orders and they would oppose them with weapons of the Spirit. So they began to hide Jews, not turn them in. They took them into their school. They took them into their homes. When the Nazi forces got too close, they would spread them out into the outskirts, away from town, where they would be less likely to be caught. André Trochme and his associate, Edouard Diess, were both arrested. They were interned for a brief period and let go. But Daniel Trochme, the pastor's brother, who was the school teacher, was not so fortunate. There was a raid in which 15 of the students were taken to internment camps, and he was taken to an internment camp, and they all died there. It was a risky business. A number of years later, however, a young man named Pierre Sauvage, who had been born of Jewish parents in Le Chambon during that time, made a documentary called Weapons of the Spirit, in which he went back to that small town and interviewed the people who had taken in his family and other families, asking them, why would you do something like this when Christians all over Europe were turning their neighbors in just because they were Jewish, just because they had a different religion, where Christians all over the country thought it was more important to obey Hitler and the Nazi ideology than to obey Jesus? Why did you choose to take the risk of doing this? And almost to a person, they said, how could we not? It was the most ordinary thing in the world. Of course we would take them in. Of course we would not turn them into the authorities. And as he explored their background, he learned the story of the Huguenot people in France, a persecuted minority under the Catholics several centuries earlier. They sang hymns about that persecution. The paths through which they took Jews out of the country and into safety were the same paths the Huguenots had followed, their ancestors had followed centuries earlier to escape persecution. You see, there are at least a couple of ways to understand suffering. One is, I suffered, boy, somebody else has got to suffer. It's called retribution, revenge. It's the way of the world. But the people of Le Chambon chose a different way, the way of Jesus. We suffered, our people suffered, no one else should ever have to go through this again. And so with that understanding of how one deals with one's own suffering, with one's own history of persecution, they saved close to 5,000 lives of people who came to them for help. By disobeying the orders of the government to intern people and register people just because they had a different religion, not because they had done anything. To disobey those orders, but to obey the vision of God that all nations will come to the God of love and light. We can be part of that dream. In fact, we are expected to be part of that dream. Just like Jesus' commandment, love one another as I have loved you, is not a suggestion, it is a commandment. So this vision of God's dream is not some fantasy, it is what we are expected to take part in. But not using weapons of destruction, using the weapons of the Spirit. Taking those swords and turning them into plowshares. Taking those spears, pounding them into pruning hooks, taking what ordinarily would be destructive and turn it into something creative and nourishing. That's our calling, not just this Advent, but all the time. And when we pray twice by singing, Come, O Come, Emmanuel, Or in a little while when we pray by singing, I want to walk as a child of the light. Do we mean it? Do we really want to be a part of God's dream? Or is this just something nice to come in here and then go home and do what everybody else does? What everybody else does is not good enough for God's dream. Not only can it be done, it has been done. Remember the people who went along with the Nazi government and how they're remembered today? Remember Les Chambons and how they are remembered today. Pierre Sauvage called it a conspiracy of goodness. Do we want to be a part of that conspiracy of goodness or something else? I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of this conspiracy of goodness because it's a conspiracy with Jesus involved. And I'll be a part of anything that's got Jesus involved. It's a part of God's dream for the world, and I'll be part of anything that is part of God's dream for the world. How about you? We affirm our faith in many ways, and sometimes we use the words of Scripture to do so. So let me invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 889 in your hymnal. And join me as we use Scripture to affirm our faith. There is one God and there is one mediator, Christ Jesus, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us this morning. If you're a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following our service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions that you might have. You can look for their blue name tags. They'll be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary following the service. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side of the card, you can record any comments that you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for your prayer requests. Please indicate if these are to be shared or are confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they're passed down the pews in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad that you'll find at the near the center of the aisle down the pew if you've not already done so. As the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone that you may not know after the service. This morning, we extend our sympathy to the family of Ruth Close, who died on Thanksgiving Day. Her service will be in the sanctuary on Wednesday, November 30th at 2 p.m., with visitation preceding the service beginning at 12:30 p.m. in McWhorter Hall. Among her family here at West End are her daughter, Charlotte Sewell, and her son-in-law, the Reverend James Sewell. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of hope, we anxiously wait for your peace to come. Our hearts cry out for relief from the suffering and the chaos in the world. Our souls were meant for so much more than this. You have created us to love extravagantly and to be in peaceful relationship with all of our neighbors. Give us time away with you on the mountain so that our souls may be refreshed and restored. Help us to make this time a priority. Fill us up so that we can do the life-changing work that you have called us to do. Transform us in such a way that we cannot help but see the world as you see it. Give us fresh eyes to see every single person as your beloved creation. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into our hearts, our homes, our country, and our world. We pray for those who are sick and suffering, for those who are angry and overwhelmed. You have created us to have fullness of life in you. You have called us to peace. May we partner with you to make it so, for not only us, but for your entire creation. And so now we join together in the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, in response to the generosity of God, let us continue in worship through the giving of God's tithes and our offerings. may be seated. I'd like to invite Rodney Buchanan to come forward. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this morning Rodney comes before the community of faith for baptism. And his husband John is coming to stand with him. Rodney, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. May we kneel. Rodney Buchanan, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lay hands on him. Rodney, the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. And I'd like to invite a few others who are going to join our church this morning to come forward. And as folks are making their way, I'll start to introduce everybody. John Alley and Rodney Buchanan. John is an interior designer with Sprint's Furniture, and Rodney is a stylist with Ambiance at Sola Salons. John is transferring from White Station Church of Christ. Evelyn Galletti is here with her husband, Gabe, and they have a son named Lewis who was just baptized, and he's 6 months old. Evelyn is the Assistant Director of Financial Operations and Planning at Vanderbilt University. She's transferring from St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And last but not least, Aaron and Wes Goodwin. Wes and Aaron have a 3-year-old daughter named Audie. Wes works for UBS, and Aaron is an OBGYN with Heritage Medical Associates. Wes is transferring from Boonville First United Methodist Church in Boonville, Mississippi, and Aaron is transferring from St. Mary of the Lake Catholic Church in Lakewood, New Jersey. Okay, so, John, Rodney, Evelyn, and Aaron, this question is for you. As members of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. Now to all of you, as members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Would the congregation please stand now and join me in affirming our newest members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Aaron, Wes, Audie, Evelyn, John, and Rodney are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I'll invite you to greet these folks after our service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
send you forth to live God's dream, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, the dreamer of peace throughout creation, Jesus Christ, in whose light we choose to walk, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to walk in the light of God's love, will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.